Don't look at me, said Shit non-committally. I'm just an observer, here at the behest of Goliath. Braxton got up and paced the room. Bowden, Victor and I watched him in silence. We felt sorry for him. He wasn't a bad man, just weak. The whole affair was a poisoned chalice, and if he wasn't removed by the regional Spec Ops commander, Goliath would as likely as not do the job themselves.
Does anyone have any ideas?
We all looked at him. We had a few ideas, but nothing that could be said in front of Shit. Since he was so willing to let us be killed that evening at Archer's place, not one of us would have given Goliath so much as the time of day.
Has Mrs. Delamere been traced?
We found her okay, I replied. She was delighted to discover that she had a motorway services named after her. She hasn't seen her son for 5 years, but is under surveillance in case he tries to make contact.
Good, murmured Braxton. What else?
Victor spoke.
We understand Felix Seven has been replaced. A young man named Danny Chance went missing from Reading. His face was found in a wastebasket on the third floor of the multi-story. We've distributed the morgue photos of Felix Seven. They should match the new Felix.
Are you sure Archer didn't say anything but Felix Seven before you killed him?
Asked Hicks.
Positive, assured Bowden in his best lying voice. We returned to the Literatech office in a glum mood. Braxton's removal might provoke a dangerous shake-up in the department, and I had Mycroft and Polly to think of. Victor hung up his coat and called across to Finister, asking him if there had been any change. Finister looked up from a much-thumbed copy of Chuzzlewit. He, Bailey and Herr Bite had been rereading it on a 24-hour relay basis since Acheron's escape. Nothing seemed to have changed. It was slightly perplexing. The 40 brothers had been working on the only piece of information we had that SO5 or Goliath didn't. Sturmey Archer had made a reference to a Dr. Miller before expiring, and that had been the subject of a rigorous search on Spec Ops and police databases. A rigorous yet secretive search. That was what had taken the time.
"Anything, Jeff?"
asked Victor, rolling up his shirt sleeves. Jeff coughed.
"There are no Dr. Mullers registered in England or on the continent, either in medicine or philosophy."
"So it's a false name?"
"Who are alive?"
Jeff smiled.
"However, there was a Dr. Muller in attendance at Parkhurst Prison in 1972.
"I'm listening."
"It was at the same time that Delamere was banged up for fraud."
"This is getting better."
"And Delamere had a cellmate named Felix Tabula Rasa."
"There's a face that fits," murmured Bowden.
"Right. Dr. Muller was already under investigation for selling donor kidneys. He committed suicide in 74, shortly before the hearing. Swam into the sea after leaving a note. His body was never recovered."
Victor rubbed his hands together happily.
"Sounds like a fake death. How do we go about hunting down a dead man?"
Jeff held up a fax.
"I've had to use up a lot of favours at the English Medical Council. They don't like giving out personal files, whether the subject is alive or dead, but here it is."
Victor took the fax and read out the pertinent points.
"Theodore Muller. Majored in physics before pursuing a career in medicine. Struck off in 74 for gross professional misconduct. He was a fine tenor, a good Hamlet at Cambridge. Brother of the most worshipful Order of the Wombat, keen train spotter, and a founder member of the Earth Crossers."
"Hmm," I murmured. "It's a good bet that he might continue to indulge himself in old hobbies, even if he was living under an assumed name."
"What do you suggest?" asked Victor. "Wait until the next steam train extravaganza. I understand the Mallard is defending her speed record next month."
"Not soon enough."
"The Wombats never disclose membership," observed Bowden.
Victor nodded.
"Well, that's that then."
"Not exactly," I said slowly.
"Go on."
"I was thinking more about someone infiltrating the next Earth Crossers meeting."
"Earth Crossers?"
said Victor, with more than his fair share of incredulity.
"You've got no chance, Thursday. Weird lunatics doing strange things privately on deserted hillsides. Do you know what you have to go through to be admitted to their exclusive club?
I smiled. It's mostly distinguished and respected professional people of mature years. Victor looked at Bowden and myself in turn.
I don't like that look you're giving me.
Bowden quickly scoured a copy of the current astronomer's almanac.
Bingo. It says here that they meet on Liddington Hill at 2 p.m. the day after tomorrow. That gives us 55 hours to prepare.
No way, said Victor indignantly.
There is no way, I repeat, no way on God's own earth that you are going to get me to pose as an earth crosser.
Chapter 26. The Earth Crossers. An asteroid can be any size, from a man's fist to a mountain. They are the detritus of the solar system, the rubbish left over after the workmen have been and gone. Most of the asteroids around today occupy a space between Mars and Jupiter. There are millions of them, yet their combined mass is a fraction of the Earth's. Every now and then, an asteroid's orbit coincides with that of Earth. An Earth crosser. To the Earth Crosser Society, the arrival of an asteroid at a planet is the return of a lost orphan, a prodigal son. It is a matter of some consequence. Mr. S.A. Orbiter, the Earth Crossers. Liddington Hill overlooks the RAF and later Luftwaffe airfield of Rorton. The low hill is also home to an Iron Age fort, one of several that ring the Marlborough and Lambourne Downs. The antiquity of the site, however, was not what attracted the Earth Crossers. They had gathered in almost every country of the globe, following the peculiar predictions of their calling in an apparently random fashion. They always observed the same routine: name the site, do a very good deal with the owners for exclusivity, then move in the month before using either local security or more junior members of the group to ensure that no infiltrators find their way in. It was perhaps due to this extreme secrecy that the militant astronomical group managed to keep what they did absolutely quiet. It seemed an almost perfect hiding place for Dr. Muller, who co-devised the society in the early 50s with Samuel Orbiter, a notable television astronomer of the time. Victor parked his car and walked nonchalantly up to two huge gorilla-sized men who were standing next to a Land Rover. Victor looked to the left and right. Every 300 yards was a group of armed security men with walkie-talkies and dogs, keeping an eye out for trespassers. There was no way on earth that anyone could slip by unseen. The best means of entering anywhere you aren't allowed to go is to walk in the front door as though you own the place.
Afternoon, said Victor, attempting to walk past.
One of the gorillas stepped into his way and put a huge hand on his shoulder.
Good afternoon, sir. Fine day. May I see your pass?
Of course, said Victor, fumbling in his pocket.
He produced the pass inserted behind the worn plastic window of his wallet. If the gorillas took it out and saw that it was a photocopy, then all would be lost.
I haven't seen you around before, sir, said one of the men suspiciously.
No, replied Victor evenly. You'll see from my card that I belong to the Berwick-upon-Tweed spiral arm.
The first man passed the wallet to his comrade.
We've been having problems with infiltrators, isn't that so, Mr. Europa?
The second man grunted and passed the wallet back to Victor.
Name? Asked the first, holding up a clipboard.
I probably won't be on the list, said Victor slowly. I'm a latecomer. I called Dr. Muller last night.
I don't know of any Dr. Muller, said the first, sucking in air through his teeth as he looked at Victor with narrowed eyes. But if you are an Earth crosser, you will have no problem telling me which of the planets has the highest density.
Victor looked from one to the other and laughed. They laughed with him.
Of course not.
He took a step forward, but the smile on the men's faces dropped. One of them put out another massive hand to stop him.
Well? This is preposterous, said Victor indignantly. I've been an Earth crosser for 30 years and I've never had this sort of treatment before. We don't like infiltrators, said the first man again. They try to give us a bad name.
Do you want to know what we do to bogus members? Now, again, which of the planets has the highest density?
Victor looked at the two men, who looked back at him menacingly.
It's Earth. The lowest is Pluto, okay?
The two security men were not yet convinced.
Kindergarten stuff, mister. How long is a weekend on Saturn?
2 miles away in Bowden's car, Bowden and I were frantically calculating the answer and transmitting it down the line to the earpiece that Victor was wearing. The car was stuffed with all sorts of reference books on astronomy. All that we could hope was that none of the questions would be too obscure.
20 hours, said Bowden down the line to Victor.
About 20 hours,
said Victor to the two men.
Orbital velocity of Mercury?
Would that be aphelion or perihelion?
Don't get smart, pal. Average will do.
Let me see now. Add the two together and...
Oh, good Lord, is that a ring chaffinch?
The two men didn't turn to look.
Well?
It's, 106,000 miles per hour.
Uranus moons?
Uranus, replied Victor, stalling for time.
Don't you think it's amusing that they changed the pronunciation?
The moons, sir.
Oh, of course. Oberon, Titania,
Hold it!
A real Earth-crosser would have logged the closest first.
Victor sighed as Bowden reversed the order over the airwaves.
Cordelia, Ophelia, Bianca, Cressida, Desdemona, Juliet, Portia, Rosalind, Belinda, Puck, Miranda, Ariel, Umbriel, Titania and Oberon.
The two men looked at Victor, nodded, and then stepped back to let him pass. Their manner changed abruptly to acute politeness.
Thank you, sir. Sorry about that, but as I'm sure you realise, there are very many people who would like to see us stopped. I'm sure you understand.
Of course. And may I congratulate you on your thoroughness, gentlemen. Good day.
As Victor walked by, they stopped him again.
Aren't you forgetting something, sir?
Victor turned. I had wondered about some sort of password, and if that was what they wanted now, we were sunk. He decided to let them lead the situation.
Leave it in the car, sir,
asked the first man after a pause.
Here, borrow mine.
The security man reached inside his jacket and pulled out not a gun, as Victor expected, but a baseball catcher's glove. He smiled and handed it over.
Oh, I dare say I won't make it up there today.
Victor slapped his own forehead with the ball of his hand.
Mine like a string bag. I must have left it at home. Imagine coming to an Earth-crosser's meet and forgetting my catcher's glove.
They all laughed with him dutifully. The first guard said,
Have a good time, sir. Earth strike is at 14:32.
He thanked them both and hopped into the waiting Land Rover before they changed their minds. He looked at the catcher's glove uneasily. What on earth were they up to? The Land Rover dropped him at the east entrance to the hill fort. He could see about 50 people milling around, all wearing steel helmets. A large tent had been set up in the centre of the fort, and it bristled with aerials and a large satellite dish. Farther up the hill was a radar scanner that revolved slowly. He had expected to see a large telescope or something, but no such apparatus seemed to have been set up.
Name?
Victor turned to see a small man staring up at him. He was holding a clipboard and wearing a steel helmet and seemed to be taking full advantage of his limited authority. Victor attempted a bluff.
That's me there,
he said, pointing at a name at the bottom of the list.
Mr. Continued Overleaf, are you?
Above that,
Victor countered hurriedly.
Mrs. Trotswell?
Ceres, Augustus Ceres.
The small man consulted his list carefully, running a steel ballpoint pen down the row of names.
No one of that name here,
he said slowly, looking at Victor suspiciously.
I'm from Berwick-upon-Tweed, explained Victor. Late entry. I don't suppose the news filtered through. Dr. Muller said I could drop in any time.
The small man jumped.
Muller? There's no one here of that name. You must mean Dr. Cassiopeia.
He winked and smiled broadly.
OK. Now,
he added, consulting his list and looking round the fort.
We're a bit thin on the outer perimeter,